what is the problem? What is the relief that you provide that will allow people to sleep a whole lot better sooner versus later? Lead with how you solve that problem.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Nancy Jutton. Here's three facts I think you should know about Nancy. One, she started her business with a desire to earn better groceries and soon became so busy she had no time to cook. Two, she's the author of Bye Bye Boring Bio Workbook and has upgraded bios for luminaries and stars on the rise since the first edition of the workbook debuted in 2009. And three, Nancy's claim to fame is being so ready for opportunity that she has been able to leapfrog over other experts with much bigger names to get seen, heard, celebrated, and compensated. She guests on podcasts twice or more every week and empowers her clients to do the same to accelerate lead flow, book more consultations, create business collaborations, and do more business. She wants to inspire thousands to follow her lead and welcome the same or even better results. Nancy, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thanks, George. Great to be here.
Nancy, the your workbook, Bye Bye Boring Bio. Now, it sounds like that's something that's been needed for a long time, because certainly I have seen and read a lot of boring bios on websites, company websites, on LinkedIn, even as a media host. I've received bios from people who want to be guests, and I read it and I go, yuck. So what are you doing to transform boring to superstar?
Well, I wish that the whole world would be tuning into this conversation, because every business leader who wants to make a bigger impact in the desired manner that they want to make the impact will do him or herself a big favor by looking at their bio through fresh eyes and saying, is this the intended message that I have to accomplish the result that I want? Sometimes people have a box that they check, like, oh, get my LinkedIn profile up, done. Get my bio on my website, done. But just because you've checked the box doesn't mean you've delivered the wow that's going to deliver the magic for you in the ways that matter to you. So I think one of the most important things we need to consider is that not all bios are suitable for all situations. What you say on Twitter is not the same thing that you have room for on Instagram. And what you say on LinkedIn could be the biggest bonanza of all. And if you've just schlepped it together as an administrative exercise and you haven't really thought about who your ideal client is, the stunning results that you bring about for your clients or your customers, such that you are worthy of the premium fees that you charge, the recognition that you've earned, such that you have the credibility to carry a big project, and something personal and memorable about you that has people taking a second look. Because so often we just lead with credentials, experience, but we forget to put ourselves in the story. And so that prevents people from making a connection. And I think that ultimately what we do with our bios is we use words to make a true connection with an ideal client that would ignite a second step, which would be a phone call, an email, an inquiry, or something else that would bring you to a result that would be desirable. So if you haven't looked at your bio recently, ask yourself, if this was the way you were introduced on a show like this, would you be happy with that? Or would you be thinking, oh my gosh, why didn't I update that? Because it's not true anymore. And what I've accomplished in the intervening years since I looked at it is even more remarkable. It's just like changing the battery in your smoke detector every 90 days. Take a look and see, is this the best story I could be telling that's most relevant and congruent to what it is I'm here to do? And if the answer is no, take a few minutes and give it a fresh shine so that you can shine brighter.
Nancy, you mentioned that if I heard you right, that one mistake is that people simply lead with their credentials, their designation, which in many cases, if you're doing that, you're in that role, you're expected to have those credentials anyways. Those are like table stakes. that doesn't impress me. That's just to get, you need that to get into the game. So I'm guessing that might need to show up somewhere, but probably not in a short bio because it's irrelevant. Is that fair to say?
Well, yes, that's fair to say. Along my journey, I've been a journalist. And in journalism, there's this expression, you know, put the who, what, where, when, and why, and the how in the first paragraph. Put the most essential, most relevant information in the first couple of lines. And then if you have additional space, go ahead and add some of that alphabet soup if it makes you feel better, and let people know that you graduated from a really prestigious university and that you spent 25 years at a really prestigious outfit before you launched your independent operation. But most people's attention span in this year that we stand in, it's 50 to 100 words and you're on to the races. If you were waxing on and on and on, you've probably gone too long. And that's especially true with podcast guesting. A host is typically going to want to hear 50 to 100 words that's relevant and of service to the conversation that has just started. It's not so much about where the guest went to school or how many decades they've been in the trenches. It's mostly about their expertise being suitable to have a conversation and to have the listeners be sitting in the edge of their seat thinking, wow, what am I going to learn in the next 20 minutes? It's more about what's in it for the audience than who is actually speaking up on the microphone, you know, credentials.
And I want to come back to what you just said about presenting yourself on a podcast, because here's what we call foreshadow for listeners and viewers. I'm going to review to you the way that Nancy reached out to me with her message and why I instantly said, I never heard of this person, but she's going to be on my show. And in the way she reached out to me and how it was different from other queries that I had that I've simply discarded and say, no way. So hang on to your, you know, sit on the edge of your seat, because we're going to talk about that shortly. When you look, Nancy, when you look at bios, particularly, let's talk about LinkedIn, because if we're selling business to business, we pretty much got to be there. And the purpose is, the only reason we're there is because we want to make connections. We want to find leads, and that's why we're there. When you read a bio on LinkedIn, what are some of the red flags that this person is not presenting themselves well? What turns you off?
Well, what turns me off is when people ramble and say everything they've ever done in their life, whether or not it's relevant and congruent to the role that they're playing right now. What is it that you're doing right now? For whom do you provide that service? What is the wow that they will welcome when they wisely say yes? And what next can they do to get in touch with you? If you can get that clear with the first couple of lines of text on your LinkedIn profile, you're going to be very well served.
And Nancy, I just wrote down three words there that I thought were critical from what you said. So what you do, who you do it for, and the wow that you provide.
And if people have serious problems that are keeping them up at night and preventing them from accomplishing their major business objectives, what is it? What is the problem? What is the relief that you provide that will allow people to sleep a whole lot better sooner versus later? Lead with how you solve that problem. I often, on my LinkedIn profile, it says, I guide service-based professionals to book themselves on the right podcast for their message without hiring an expensive booking agency. If that's the only thing you remember about my LinkedIn profile, you know the problem I solve for who I'm going to solve it and why it matters. And if that's a ding, 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 yes, I want that, you know who you're going to call. And what do you know? It's going to be me. If you really revisit your LinkedIn profile today and ask yourself, is the problem I solve crystal clear for the audience that I serve? And what's special and different and differentiating about the way you solve the problem? You're going to be off to the races. That point of clarity is going to make a huge, huge difference in the number of inquiries that you receive, because people will understand what you do. It is amazing to me. I mean, let's face it, sometimes, especially in recent years, people have been side hustling in addition to their main event, and they've got Etsy stores that they sell their crafts. There's like all kinds of crazy things that people do, and all that's awesome. But if you are suffering from, you know, let's just say you're a divorce, you're a person who's going to get a divorce. You're not going to bestow your business to an attorney who's dividing his or her attention between her side hustle doing this, her divorce practice, and her pet sitting business. You're going to put your money behind someone who's making this their 100% priority, because you got a serious problem and you need a serious solution. So be clear about who the what the problem is, who you solve it for, and what makes you special, different, and preferred. And, you know, just the other day, I saw someone that had so much personality. She was just so unapologetic and unbridled about who she is and how she helped. And then she says, if you want to follow my shenanigans, check the box right here. Follow my shenanigans. Like, that is so much punch, so much personality, so much pizzazz. It has so much appeal to a very specific kind of person who doesn't want to deal with a very specific corporate personality. Follow my shenanigans. Wow. That woman sounds like somebody that one particular kind of audience might be really excited to meet. So don't go boring on your call to action. If you're the kind of person that would say, follow my shenanigans, put it out there, because some people are going to be compelled by it. And a lot of people may be repelled by it. Either way, you're a winner, because you're not spending time with the wrong people. More time with the right people.
And I like that phrase, follow my shenanigans, because that just oozes of personality. There's someone who's clearly going to be fun, probably maybe a little weird, but at least fun to work with. And that's interesting, because when you look at the typical bio, what you typically see are the same words that people are using over and over again. And
Well, and another issue with bios is, you know, ask yourself what you want your bio to do for you. That's a really important question some people never really consider. Do you want your bio to help you attract new customers, new clients, new revenue generating opportunities? If that's the case, make sure the words and the music match and lead the customer or the client to that outcome. If you want a bio that will invite people to book you on their podcast, broadcast, or live stage, then you need to be able to demonstrate what an exceptional speaker you are and what people have said about the impact that you make as you take the mic, and demonstrate your wow factor in that way. And if you're looking to get speaking gigs, specifically like as a keynote speaker, you're going to want to demonstrate your pattern of accomplishment and the stages that you've taken, and then drop some names of organizations that have wisely invested to benefit from your own amazement. But think about what kind of an outcome you want, because, you know, the metaphor I like to use is we all have to get dressed, right? You can go to the one size fits all rack and you can put some clothes on your back and be covered, but you won't be slim, sexy, and spectacular. You want to dress up for the occasion that is desirable for you. So if you want clients, make sure your bio helps you get to that outcome. If you want media interviews, make sure the bio focuses there. And if you want to get booked to speak, go ahead and demonstrate that. But one size does not fit all. And that is true of a whole lot of things, including bios.
Let's pick on some of the words. And when it comes to to people who, whether they are professional speakers or whether they are professionals who also like doing speaking engagements, here's the phrase that annoys me the most. Sought after speaker. How does that make,
according to who?
Yeah, how does that make you special? And why are you sought after? Did you forget to pay your check again?
You know, I think proof is powerful. And sometimes people will overdo their, you know, I'm highly, you know, highly acclaimed, heralded, highly sought after. And it sounds like hype to me. It sounds like hype to me. If you are a New York Times bestselling author or a Wall Street Journal bestselling author, that has some credibility that stands apart, stands alone, and has people, I call it the head whip reaction. Wow, that's awesome. If you're highly sought after, put some proof behind it. Kind of reminds me of authors I've talked to over the years. I'm a best-selling author, they'll just say, and they won't say according to who, Wall Street Journal, Amazon, whatever. And then I'll say, well, tell me more about your book. How many books have you sold? And they say, well, not too many. And I said, well, can you get a little more specific? And they'll say, well, it's mostly just my family and some of my friends who are, you know, bought my book. And I'll say, okay, that's fine. But don't say you're a best-selling author if you're not a best-selling author. Instead, why not say that you're aspiring to be a best-selling author and you're making it happen one book sale at a time? That's so much more authentic and genuine, and people will appreciate that you have an aspiration, and maybe they'll want to be inspired to support it by buying your book. But if you fib about your credentials, what else might you fib about?
In fact, now you just pointed out something that I believe we find charming. When a professional of any sort talks about themselves and about some part of their accomplishment, they might say, well, you know, I'm still working on this part of the operation, but you know, here's what I've done. Here's what I'm great at. But by the way, this thing here, I'm not so good at. And I've heard speakers say, you know, talk about a book and how their, you know, their mother just loved my book. And I would love for more of you to love it, but my mother loves it so far.
You know, I think being likable counts for a lot. People do business with people they like, trust, and respect. And if you're likable and you speak the truth and you have some measure of humility, that's attractive to some people. So try to be your very best self. And if you have those qualities, bring them forth. You know, when I was first starting my business way back in the day, I didn't have a big name for myself. I hadn't written a book yet. I didn't have amazing testimonials about what I did and how I did it. But I had a headline and it said something like, every growing company needs a storyteller. I'd love to tell yours. And it was like, that was it. And then because I didn't have all these big milestones accomplished, you know, and who doesn't, there's a lot of people that say, I'm less than, I'm not worthy, I don't have the credentials, I don't have this, I don't have that. Well, what do you have? And I led with, I believe that when we work together, it should be fruitful and fun. I believe that every moment that I put forth to you needs to deliver value. I led with my five most core my most important core values. And I said, if you like what you've read so far, then let's get on the phone and talk about it. It was like a one sheet thing. And I, like within 2 months, I was fully booked because every growing company needs a storyteller. Let me tell yours. And it was like, it was so honest. It was so forthright and it worked for me. So, you know, don't try to be something you're not. Just own what you are in this moment and bring the very best that you have to it. And don't fib and, you know, put your wins forward that would be relevant to the decision that you want your audience to make.
And what I'm hearing there is, again, personality coming through. And I'm getting the impression that that's probably the core of what we sell to our clients when we are professionals, especially when we're in a competitive market. And if you're a professional, you're in a competitive market. There's tons of people out there who can do the same thing that you do. And so it comes down to your personality, your character. Do we like you? Can we work with you?
And your secret sauce, like whatever that is. And so I'll give you an example. There was a point in my career where I was representing, I was a public relations specialist for 4 different community banks. And if there was ever a conservative audience of people, it is community banks, any kind of bank, you know, name, rank, and serial number. I went to Pacific Coast Banking School. I live in a nice neighborhood with my wife and my 2 kids. And here's a picture of me with my dog. These are the bios that you have for the bankers that you're trusting with your business decisions and everything else. And I remember saying to these bankers that I was working with, we've got to do better because all of these bios sound the same. And so if you have this kind of corporate limitations that you have to operate within, why not come up with a sassy soundbite that speaks to your philosophy of doing this work? And let that lead so that people can say, wow. And so an example of that is my husband is a certified financial planner professional, and it says his name, certified financial planner professional. And then it says, people hire me for my head, trust me for my heart, and value me most when I use both.
Mm.
You put a sassy soundbite at the top of your bio that speaks your philosophy of doing business, and people have that reaction. Oh, he sounds like somebody I'd like to meet. Heck, I married him. He's a really good guy. But what can you say that will help you stand apart? What do you believe? What do you stand for? Because if you're constrained by your corporate environment and being name, rank, and serial number, you got to put something in there that will make you distinct, preferred, and memorable, because most bios are not memorable. And my bio says something like, I mean, I do a lot of podcast guesting, and somewhere in the bio, it says that I speak up on 40 or more podcasts every year with my sassy soundbites leading the way. Well, if you're a podcast host, you'd really like to have someone on your show that's not going to be boring, that's going to be able to turn a phrase and use alliteration and do something fun to make it theater for the mind and the ear. And there you have the dog in the background giving a little punctuation to the whole thing.
And Nancy, with that, let's reveal what you did differently, why it grabbed my attention compared to other queries I've had from people who want to be guests on my podcast. And most notably is you talked about me, you talked about my show, you said that you had listened to some of the shows already, and you mentioned 3 of the names, and you realized how many shows I've done. And it was because it was just that day, I think, that latest episode went up. So you clearly were current, and then you pointed out your expertise. But it was when you talked about me, you got my attention, me and my show. I mean, what do I care more about than me? It's my show. So you got my attention. And compare that to another query that I received recently, who I didn't bother with. And he had 4 sentences in his letter to me, his message to me, his bio. He said, I am, I have, I done, and I want. Like that's not.
Was it good for you, George?
No. Yuck. You know, like that person is, and the person claimed to be a personal branding expert. So much for that credibility there. And the person, so I knew that person wasn't going to be a good guest because we're here to have a conversation. And as a host, I want you as a guest to understand that it's not about you and me. It's about the listeners. It's about the viewers. What are they getting from this? That's the benefit from here. Can we work together? So that message, like you made a difference. See, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned that you, in your description, that you help people get on podcasts without hiring an expensive agency. And I've been approached by reps from agencies, and their messages are typically, about their client, not about my show. Now, here's what they do. They're fooling themselves. They think they're talking about me, and they say, "Oh, well, I've been very impressed with your podcast." So I write back and I said, "Well, which show impressed you and why?" And I never hear from them again.
This is the problem that I want to address. This is the flag I'm waving. I believe that if you want to be seen, heard, and celebrated, and ultimately compensated, you must first see, hear, celebrate, and compensate the people that you most want to influence to have the opportunity to speak up on their stage. It is just like being a good human being. And so what does a host care about? A host would like more subscribers. A host would like 5-star ratings. A host would like more downloads. A host would like the opportunity to talk to even cooler, more successful, more insightful guests that have power to add to the Your Intended Message conversation. These are some of the currencies that are important to hosts. To the extent all of us as potential guests can address those issues genuinely and specifically, the more we can open the door to have a bigger conversation. If you say, "Love your podcast, keep up the great work," that says absolutely nothing. That sounds so generic. It sounds like you've got some template that you're using that has no heart or specificity packed into it. But if you really, if this podcast has 69 episodes and 45 5-star reviews and you want to be episode number 70, well, why don't you listen to episode, you know, what I always say to my clients, look at the site on iTunes and see how many episodes they've produced, find out how many 5-star ratings, scan the ratings to see what people are saying, to see if that's something you want to spend your time listening to learn more, earn more, and accomplish more. And then scan through the episodes to find one that's personally resonant for you so that when you listen, not only are you thinking, can I be on that show, but can I learn something to make my own intended message better? And do I feel enriched for having had that conversation or been a voyeur into that conversation? Because if you listen to that show and learn something, not only did you make yourself better, but you can go one better by posting a 5-star review for that host and say, "I listened to episode number 62, where you talk to Sam Horn talking about how to make your message more clear. And oh my goodness, the alliteration is still ringing in my ears of the way she turned a phrase. I noticed that you've also interviewed some of my most admired experts, Michael Haig, and I can't remember the other person. Oh, Patricia Fripp, et cetera, et cetera." Like, I'm demonstrating through the specific comments that I'm making that I really did listen to the show. That's the way to do it. I mean, if you are a business leader and someone says, "Write a letter of recommendation for me," and you write back, "Plays well with others, it was always a pleasure to have in class," like, that's what everybody says. You have to say something that's memorable and specific and terrific so that the person who sees that message says, "Wow, what a great employee, I want to have them on my team." Go the extra mile with your ratings, because you know what? The host is going to see that. The host is going to appreciate that. And if a week later, oh, by the way, a pitch comes across his desk that says, "I'd love to be on the show," what do you think the chances are that they might take a second look? They're pretty good, in my experience.
Nancy, you have made 2 free gifts available. And tell us what they are and how do they get them?
Well, the first one is a media one sheet gift template that will help you quickly and easily create a media one sheet that showcases why you are the podcast dream guest that a top host can't wait to book. And if you want to have that delivered to your inbox right this minute, the link is getknowngetpaid.com/MOS for media one sheet, and it will save you time. It will allow you to quickly create your media one sheet, and then you can start pitching the shows that would be right for your message starting today. And then the second gift is related to making your bio more brilliant for the kinds of opportunities you like. I am the author of the Bye Bye Boring Bio 2020 workbook, which is an Amazon #1 best-selling work that has been reviewed favorably by luminaries that have names that you would know. But the best part about it is the preview of it is my gift to you. And you can go to buybuyboringbio.com to download it and appreciate how to put pizzazz into your message so that you can be smiling all the way to the bank or advancing along your business leadership career, knowing that you're putting your best story forward to accomplish the goals that you have for yourself. So that link would be buybuyboringbio.com.
And the links are in the description below. You can find them there. Nancy, in wrapping up, if you could provide one, two, or three tips to people in writing their bio, whether the bio, the purpose is to get a media interview, a podcast interview, or to get new clients, what one, two, or three tips might you suggest where they should start?
Number one, how do you want to be known and put a handle in front of your name? Get Known, Get Paid mentor Nancy Jutton guides service-based professionals to book themselves on the right podcast without hiring an expensive booking agency. The model is put a handle behind in front of your name so people know exactly what you do. Mention who you do it for and what sets you apart. That would be number one. Number two, write your bio in the third person, especially if you're going to be on podcasts and broadcasts, because that makes it easy for the host to read the message without having to transpose any of the wording from first person to third person. And a bonus tip there is if you've got a name that's challenging to speak or spell, offer a phonetic spelling so they don't have to guess that it's Jutton like button, right? And then the third thing is, what is the call to action that you most want people to take as a direct result of crossing paths with you online or anywhere else? Put one in so that people can find you. Because if you are at arm's length and you don't provide a phone number or an email address, you're making it hard for people to buy, own, or refer. Put the floodgates open to be arms wide open to invite the kinds of inquiries that you desire. And what do you know? You will get more inquiries and you'll do more business and you will attract more of the business that you desire. And won't that be a great outcome?
My guest today is Nancy Jutton, reminding you that it's okay to let us know about your shenanigans.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.